everything that's happened. I think the impact in 2020 to this organization, as well as the city and, you know, the regional area and the basically the whole country, has just been more than we could have ever imagined. I think there's a lot of fear, just so much disruption, and I think that this city as an employer and as a provider of very critical services has done a really good job at that. Certainly our employees stepped up and have done a phenomenal job. We've heard that time and again. I think our citizens and business owners have been as resilient as they can be. And then our partners at the federal and state government, we did have a lot of outreach, a lot of resources made available, and so I guess what I'm trying to say is, with all that help, we are projecting a positive 2020 year end. So I think that's to all of those contributors in the process. For 2020, we will talk about a little bit some remainder funds, but I think the question right now is, what's 2021 going to look like? We do know there's going to be some reduced revenues. We've been doing a lot of technology planning just in case of future disruptions, et cetera. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to become clearer by as time goes on. But I think what we did in this budget is we were pretty conservative just in case of those emergency needs. The budget for 2021 is being recommended fully funded, no planned use of contingency, which I think is really important in a year of uncertainty. I think we have to believe that if things turn south again and we get to some of those more challenging times like we've seen already this year, that the state and federal government will step in again, and that's also part of our plan. We talked about the surplus. We'll talk about that later. And then, of course, in 2021, if we had to, the emergency of use of fund balance would be something we could certainly do. So back to, you know, another, you know, major guiding assumptions that we're talking about: maintaining services, protecting city assets, and using resources responsibly. That's really the bread and butter of what we do. And again, being a service organization, we know that our employees are our largest asset. So what we need to do is we need to be responsive. We need to look at pay and benefits. Obviously, it has to be reasonable. It has to be competitive in the area. And but we have to keep people on the streets performing those services for our citizens. We have not included any new permanent positions in the budget. I know there's been a few positions added in recent years, but we also recognize that our staff needs help. So we do have a couple temporary positions. We have a couple summer positions in the Public Works Parks area. We have some assistance in planning, and then a little bit of assistance in finance, and we think that will help us bridge the gap between some of those expectations and what we can get done with our current staff. Obviously, we're also considering consolidation of services. As Chief Remington stated earlier, really in a metro area like this, we need to look at all of those options all the time. So that's something that's really important. Of course, new technologies. We're doing a rollout right now for BSNA to do the new building inspections, community services modules, and that's going to be a real benefit for the community as well. And then contracting for services when necessary. So then the other thing, and this is sometimes the elephant in the room, but capital spending. Sometimes it's really hard to do capital spending, a lot of money, big infrastructure. But I think what we need to realize is that when we don't do that and we don't consider those important things, we have to worry about what we're doing to maintenance of our buildings, of our roads, impact on deferred maintenance, and what those kind of the non-spending can do to our budget as well. So I just have a little chart up on the screen right now. It talks about our debt. We are, don't get me wrong, we're in a really strong position with regard to our debt. We're a AA2 rated by Moody's. And I took it right out of the rating. This is what they say: a growing wealthy tax base with healthy reserves and liquidity and a modest pension burden. I could give you 20 Moody's reports from similar communities, and you're not going to see this positive of a rating with these comments. This is really a reflection of the community and the values. What we need to do is we need to make sure we carry that into the future. So we have a good, strong debt rating. We have used a lot, as you can see by the screen. We've used a lot of our debt capacity in recent years. The blue line is TIF expenditures. We do obviously have plans in place for those to be repaid, but it's hard because we have to borrow the money up front, and we usually don't get the value until a little bit later on. So We really need to focus on just being very purposeful and very deliberate as we go forward in how we use our capacity. In the budget docs, I have a lot of detail on what's our stated limit from the state, 5% of equalized value, which is like something like $229 million. We're not anywhere close to it, but we have a self-imposed 40% of that limit, and we are getting close in the next couple of years on hitting that capacity. So there's going to be some really tough decisions and discussions that we're going to be having going forward with regard to debt. So not in trouble, not anything bad, just looking to the future that we need to be careful on. In regard to the city's long-term fiscal health, again, very strong fund balance. I think all of you know why we have a fund balance, but a fund balance is really, in our bondholders' eyes, a savings account that they don't ever want us to spend. They just want us to save that money to show that, you know, we are credit worthy. We do have, we're lowering the exposure in case of emergencies do happen. Obviously, it does allow for one-time use, which is something we will be talking about later this year. If you look over at the chart on the bottom corner, if you can see that, we're very close to 30% of our expenditures in our fund balance. That's what our policy says. We should have a range between 20 and 30%. And when we get to the top of that, the policy is really good, and it spells out what we should do with those funds. And those funds are recommended to be used for one-time uses. And I think we might have some of those coming up. We'll talk about a couple of them as we go forward. But being in that position, trying to decide how to use those funds prudently, is a really good place to be as far as the city goes in 2021 with that kind of fund balance. So again, something from the community to be very proud of. So we'll just step into a couple of the highlights. Again, you have a 400-page document in front of you. I'm sure you're all going to read it cover to cover, as we did, Paul and I did. But these are just going to be a few of the highlights that come through. First of all, of course, we're maintaining city services. No reductions in staffing in 2021. What that equates to is a levy increase of about $176,000. If you look at the chart, I know it's a little hard to read. I wanted to include those numbers because it's really hard at that magnitude to tell, you know, where the lines go. Yes, it is up $176,000, but in the end, it's all covered by new growth. That means there is not an additional burden on our existing taxpayers that existed before the growth hit this year. So it's basically a net zero impact. Then we get to our tax rates. Again, sometimes when I'm putting these numbers together and looking at them, it's almost not real. Communities of our size, maybe a little bit larger, are looking at $10 and $11 local tax rates, the city portion of the tax rate. Our equalized value, again, we know levy is king, but when you want to compare the city of Franklin to the other cities in the state, the equalized value is the means in which to do that. And when you look at a tax equalized tax rate that's decreased for the last 7 years, and it's down 13.6% from 10 years ago, that really shows some conservatism, some self-restraint, and it's a good thing. Again, tax rates going down on a regular basis aren't a common thing. So yes, it's a common thing in Franklin, but I do want you to know that someday there is going to be a time where we are going to probably have to talk about increased tax rates. Not today, though. On the assessed rate, we don't have the final assessed rate from the state yet. That's it's just a process that we go through. Board of Review closed a few weeks ago. We submitted all of our final reporting. By the end of October, the state will go ahead and give us what's called the statement of assessment, and that'll have an assessment ratio, which really takes our equalized value and turns it into an assessed value, which is what we do base taxes off of. But the best guess that we have right now is that tax rate is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $5.05 per thousand. Again, picture's worth a thousand words. I think the fact that we're able to do this and look at this today is just really something decent. Decrease for the last 6 years, 8.1% decrease in the assessed rate since the 2012 budget. A couple other things we need to talk about: a reduction in shared revenue. There's something called the expenditure restraint. If communities keep their budget increases within a certain dollar amount, qualify for the expenditure restraint. We've done all of that. We've kept our budgets to where they need to be. The problem is in the program, it says that when you get your tax rate under $5, you no longer qualify. So thank you very much for the city of Franklin for doing your part and keeping taxes down, but now the state's not going to share any more money with us. So that's just the nature of that program. Back in 2017, we had about $208,000 annually. In 2021, we're expecting $25,000. And by the time we hit 2022, we don't expect that program to be in existence for us. Now, some communities, our neighbors to the east, perhaps might have been planning for 5 years on how they can exit expenditure restraint and get back in because they can't stay within the limits. That's not where we're at. But someday in the future, perhaps we will be back in the program. And this also is a way to reset that. Again, not that the city needs to. We do have a fully balanced budget, like we talked to before. No planned use of fund balance. We have revenues and expenditures go up and down each year. I do just have a little bit of a list of things, some of the more major ones in the general fund. Our expenditure restraint revenue is going down $125,000. Fines and forfeitures, we are expecting to be down a little bit. Our franchise fees that we get from cable TV subscribers going down. There's a adjustment to the personal property aid that's kind of going down double this year, but we'll get half of it back. The state's correcting from last year. And then, of course, we're expecting a little bit of a reduction in room tax. As far as our revenue increases, we keep saying that the economy's got to be strained and things, but what we're seeing on our building permits and our building activity in the community is unbelievable, off the charts, could be one of our best years in a long time. So people are still doing things in the community, still putting infrastructure in the ground, and that helps everyone in the community, I think, in the long term. A couple of decreases on the expenditure side. And just to be fair, there's $23,000 is the net reduction in expenditures. You might say, how can that happen? You know, people have been telling us for years it's usually an increase. There was a large transfer out last year for some capital needs that was in the levy, so there's $500,000 there. But we have really been looking at expenditures. We've been really trying to allocate costs to the budgets that they belong to. For example, IT is a good example. IT serves all of our departments. We weren't charging any of our IT costs to our utilities. Now, for the most part, our utility ratepayers are our taxpayers, but in some cases, they're not. And what we need to do is we need to try to match those revenues and expenditures most appropriately, and those reallocations do that very thing. We do have some suggestions. I'd say some pretty big suggestions on the health insurance fund. We are meeting with the personnel committee again on Monday the 21st, so next Monday, and we're hoping to have a detailed recommendation for the council shortly after that. If we are able to come to a recommendation next week, I will have it at the October 6th meeting. But I think there's just a lot that we're doing with healthcare, and it's not necessarily eroding the benefit. It's changing the way we look at it a little bit more to try to attack our claim costs and our plan costs, and perhaps even you might even see it as an enhancement of a benefit without increasing the cost, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to get some steerage and get our employees to collaborate with us, a little bit of consumerism, you know, something we've all been talking about for a long time, but I think we're really ripe for that here in Franklin because of the way costs have gone over the last couple of years, which has been super high. Yeah. So then something else we need to talk about, I think it's a really piece of our 2021 and probably the future 5 to 7 years. We have a lot of very seasoned employees with the city, and we have to do some seasoned. Well, and it's more than that. It's the institutional knowledge. It's all of the experience and things. And so succession planning is going to be something big for us in 2021. The way it relates to the budget mostly is with the number of expected retirements or feasible possible retirements we're going to have over the next year, we wanted to have a funded reserve in the budget so that we don't have to have long periods of vacancies where we are unable to provide services. So I mentioned a little bit before, staffs are really tight. We're expecting a lot out of our employees at all times, but when they have to go with 4 and 5 vacancies at any given time, it's just something's going to break. So this reserve was something we thought was pretty important. Again, this next slide, the next statement is just really about the plan costs, looking at what we can do with the health insurance benefit. We are recommending the hotel motel tax be adjusted from 6% to 8%. In 2021, that would only impact our tourism budget. Because of the way the formulas work at the state level, it would bring in approximately, based on 2019 projections, because our 2019 actuals, because we had to throw 20 out for COVID, we're thinking about 121,000. However, as more hotels come online and more room tax gets collected, that's where we're going to see the increase on the general fund side too. So there are some swings for the general side. Talked about this a little bit earlier, but borrowing, and we talked about where our debt has been over the last couple of years. In 2021, right now, we have $16 million of planned borrowing. $2 million for our capital needs, that's part of an established plan every other year, which I think is very needed with our aging infrastructure. And then there's another $9 million for TIDS, infrastructure and incentives, $3 million for that sewer lift station, and then $2 million for the water debt for the new water tower, which we've been talking about recently. So again, we just have to be very mindful as we move forward and make sure that we know what we're doing with our borrowing. No solid waste fee change. I know there was a fee change in the recent history. Nothing for 2021 is projected. We are anticipating a sewer rate increase. Paul's working on that right now. Amount to be determined, but we definitely think that's coming in 2021. Another thing, our unified development ordinance, we do have funds in, quite a bit of funds, about $150,000 for a major update. To my knowledge, this is the first time in many, many years that this has been undertaken, and it'll definitely be a good thing for the city as we move towards that goal. And then again, a lot of capital items. Again, they're all in the details, too many to mention. I may forget, but spending on capital equipment, streets, parks, we're doing some spending at parks, and then our facility infrastructure. So one of the things when we talk about infrastructure, and that kind of leads us down to our operational focus, we really need a plan to address citywide aging infrastructure. So we have a fire department, a library, police station, fill in the blank. There's all these separate places, and we really don't have a cohesive plan to keep track of what everything is, so we know what the problems are, because the more unknown failures we have, the more it's going to burden our finances. So what I would be projecting or recommending for 2021 is we just do a five-year capital improvement program. And what that would do is that would get all of our assets on record, help us with our street planning and all of that. Kind of like when you're working with investments and you ladder them, we want to ladder our aging infrastructure replacements in the same way. So that's something we would be working on. And the city actually already got a really good start to that in 2020 when Industrial Roofing came in and did the survey. So it'll be a springboard for us to go into that. Obviously, we're talking about it a lot. Has been going on for a number of years. The city's future water source, we're expecting activity in 2021 as well. Talked about this a couple times, attracting and maintaining a high quality workforce, super important. The succession planning, again, always continuing to review our pay and benefits, as well as what our comparable cities are doing, where the market pinches are, you know, what are the high demand positions, and how do we need to go about recruiting and attracting new employees. There is one thing that we're not really doing right now, and that would be the merit pay element. We approved a classification compensation study back in, I believe, 2015 for implementation in 16, and it has an element of merit pay in it. However, it's never been implemented. So the way that works is anybody that was here prior to that, and they were perhaps grandfathered in over the 65% rate, they can get over it. But anybody else coming in, they're basically frozen at that 65%. It's okay, we bring somebody new in, bring them in at a lower place in the schedule, that's acceptable. But when we get to those mid-career people that are finally just hitting their stride and doing what we need them to do, that's where we're starting to lose people. So I think this merit pay is an important piece. And we're in the public sector. Merit pay doesn't mean something big here. It means something meaningful and something coming from our employer. We do have about $37,000 in 2020 that we're hoping to carry over to use for this initiative in 2021. So there are no new dollars placed in the budget for that. And then, of course, always operating efficiencies and evaluation of services. And I can tell you, just from talking to all the departments during the budget process, every department head is doing this on an ongoing basis. Just a couple of our strengths and opportunities. Developable land. We have something that a lot of communities don't have. And again, you know, it's about smart growth and it's about making sure that we do things deliberately, but that's a really big benefit, I think, for us going forward. Same thing with funding of capital items. There aren't many communities with a landfill here that brings in the revenues that we get that we're able to use for capital spending. In fact, the communities that I've worked at for the past 20 years, beginning in 2010 to 12, have not seen one capital item funded through the budget. We're still budgeting about $300,000 of capital outlay in our operating budget, and then we have a fair amount of landfill siting fees that are really helping us with our funding. So as we put our capital plan together, we're expecting those landfill revenues to last 20 to 30 more years, and that will be an important piece of that. We have the impact fees as well. Yes, they're for new improvement, but this community is really good at taking those and coupling them, or talking about what our plans are to couple them to make some needed improvements in the community while dealing with the growth. So that's also another strength that we have. The OPEB Trust, again, I can't say enough for Paul. He manages our whole OPEB Trust, which is amazing. But more than that, he's got it funded to a place where it's respectable is the best word I can think of. There's usually one place in the state that fairly funds their retirement costs, and that's always WRS, until I came here and I saw this OPEB Trust. But what I will say is part of that is being opportunistic. So when we have extra funds, it would be nice, and that's something we'll be looking at the end of 2020. If we have some remainder funds and where we need to be in fund balance, it might be good to make a deposit to our OPEB trust just to get a little bit ahead and not be behind the eight ball next time we have a market call or something happens with the investment market. And then our public works pension plan, again, very strong position. We don't think that needs actually any contributions at this point. Couple other operating budgets, small. You all know what these are, civic celebrations, the 4th of July celebration, the St. Martin's Fair over Labor Day. Hopefully those events are going to be back in 2021.
No.
It's one of those community amenity things. It's not all about dollars and cents.
Thank you. Feels good. There's no interdepartmental building. Come on, Chiefs, to go for the fair.
And then we do have a health grant account, and that's the Volition Franklin, the alcohol, tobacco, and drug prevention, which is an amazing community-wide initiative that's also going very well. Talked a little bit about the insurance fund. We will be having some recommendations after the meeting on the 21st, but we do think there's a lot of good things in store for that for both the city and the employees. Debt service fund, I think I've talked about that enough. One good thing that Paul does as well on the debt service fund is he tries to keep a level amount of tax levy needed for debt payments, debt repayments, and it does take some creativity and finesse to do that, but what it does is it allows us to not have operating levy issues in those years where debt service would go up. So that fund balance that's being used for that is a good source of that. Of course, we have multiple funding sources for our debt, some more stable or immediate than others, water and sewer, and then TID is just the one that we need to be mindful of. We do have an expected debt shortfall in TID 5. However, I will confirm with you that we talked to the developer, and that is indeed planned to be paid. So I know we had some communication on it at previous meetings. I just wanted to make sure I shared that with you.
We had forecast that over a year ago and had alerted the developer to it, so they included it in their plans, and we did flash that to the Finance Committee in June of this year that there would be a shortfall this coming year.
And I bring that up, so the internet, Paul,
He's covering it, right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I guess, like I said, you know, I keep mentioning TIDs, but what we have to remember is if things could go forward without TID, it wouldn't exist. So we all know, I think, that there's a bit of risk involved with all of these investment deals that we're doing. So again, just something to be mindful of as we move forward. So back in June, the council approved a change in the budget ordinance so that finance committee would be reviewing the budget. Paul set up four meetings for them to review it, breaking down all different pieces of the budget at different times. We're happy to see three members of the council on that committee because I do think that really helps a lot when we talk so many details at that level. But certainly the rest of you, welcome to attend. We would love to have you there. But those are the meetings that we have coming up.
Will those meetings be 4 p.m., for example,
it's audio. I believe they're audio recorded.
They are audio recorded, have been for quite some time.
So audio, not video.
There's no video at that.
And the reason, their meetings are usually at 6 p.m., but they just decided to go earlier for these just because of the duration, the expected duration. So, but again, if you can't make it to the meetings and you want to call me and get a synopsis of what happened at the meetings, I'm happy to talk with you about that. Then once all those meetings are done, on October 1st is the last one, what we're asking the Finance Committee to do is provide any recommendations that they have for changes to the council at the October 6th meeting. What that will do is that will allow us time to prepare a hearing notice that has to be published on October 28th. Of course, it has to get to the newspaper a week earlier, and then it takes some time to create the notice. So that'll happen on the 28th. And then, of course, we're going to still be talking about the budget from now until November 17th, and we're hoping the council will consider the proposed budget on November 17th so that we can meet all of our statutory deadlines with regards to taxes, et cetera. And anytime, any questions, please ask. I'm here to help. Paul's here to help. Whatever we can do to get to a workable budget for 2021 is our goal. Kind of went through that quick, but questions.
All right, thank you.
I do have one change, Paul, from the capital outlay. Under the police department,
258.
That's what I was going to tell you. Under squad video system replacement, item 11. I need to include that. And it's under footnotes. It's on page 269, I think. Description. Oh, no.
On page 316. Under recreation.
Mike. 316 under recreation in the budget. Pleasant View Park improvements design contract was awarded in March of 2020. Isn't that just what we've awarded tonight?
You did in fact award a contract tonight, but there was a contract previously awarded in March of this year. So when this document was written, it was referring to the contract that was awarded in March.
Okay. So we want to make sure that this one is in, but here's something that I want Mr. Morrow to be extremely clear on, because we've had problems with clarifications. We all know we voted for four pickleball courts, right? We're all in agreement. The item number 9 for the contract that we let tonight, the bullet point on one page 83 says 6 pickleball. You will be making that amendment to this contract before you sign this, correct? And you will be doing as the motion files for that particular bullet point. I don't want to have any clarifications that you didn't understand that. Don't want to see it going out for bid with 6. Okay. All right.
Okay, see. There's going to be about 7 emails on all of our email inboxes.
And I know there'll be 20 coming in thanking me.